Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. This is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, November 6, 2008, is now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time. In the good old USA, I should say. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic oversized and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, our Thursday morning edition. We invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. We have five open lines. I know it's early in the morning. There's got to be someone out there in radio land, or I should say computer radio land, that would love to call in and maybe vent some frustration, give me your thoughts, your wisdom and comments, or even better, some of your questions. During our live broadcast, you can also you can send your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I'm sorry, I goofed up my entire sentence there. If you're listening to a rebroadcast, you may phone in your comments to area code 918-919-0101. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com. Andy talks about economic issues and how they affect you. Very important. In fact, he has a newsletter which he publishes a couple of times a month. It's absolutely free. You can subscribe to that. And he has a paid subscription newsletter. And he can give you personal, individual advice. It's very, very good. He's an economist. He's a very good friend of mine. And I do trust his words. And I do follow him very, very closely. I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, thank you very much. Well, what a week. It certainly has been, and I'm not going to rehash everything that everyone said thus far about the election. You've probably heard it in ignosium, and so have I. And I'd like to add maybe a different perspective on this. But before I do that, I'd like to read the sentiments of an ex-citizen. His name is Tom, and he lives in Chile. And he says, I just watched 10 interviews with average Californians. The newscaster had the following questions for those interviewed. What would you like the next president to do? The answers were, I don't know, and to improve the economy. My answer is, stop all the wars that the USSA, that's the United Socialist States of America, he calls it, is involved in, and close down the torture center at Guantanamo Bay. This is why I no longer live in the country of my birth. You know, it is a haven for a bunch of idiots who do not think, and they will never buy your argument supporting Walmart. He's talking about the Walmart discussion that I had last week about how Walmart really wasn't bad for the economy. And of course, the politicians who represent the idiots themselves are idiots. They are true representatives of the people. I think that's kind of funny, you know. It's kind of nasty, but it's kind of funny, you know. This is my view from far away. Now, back to my Portuguese lessons. I love that, Tom. Thank you very much. You know, it's sorrowful. It really is sorrowful. And I should say, Tom, stop writing that way. That's nasty. But, you know, it's true. You know, it's unfortunately true. Some of the interviews people have had regarding this election are just not worth repeating. They were absolutely horrible. They were absolutely mindless. They had one gal said, oh, I'm so glad Obama's in office now. I don't have to worry about my car payments. Now, what the heck, you know, you just sit there and you go, I'm sorry, I'm lost. I'm just totally wrong country, you know. Tom writes again, he says, I listened to your Walmart broadcast last night. This is what he referred to in the other of the email. He says, I have to agree with your analysis. I have decided to go to Brazil and seek citizenship there now. I have made a link for everyone interested in Uruguay and Brazil. I really enjoy Uruguay, but I've never visited Brazil. Well, Tom, I want to tell you something. Just give you a little heads up on Brazil. Brazil really is, he thinks Brazil is going to be the next powerhouse. He goes on to say, I feel that Brazil will soon be the economic powerhouse of the Americas. The United Socialist States of America has met its demise. The last part I agree with. And I'll tell you why I'm not very excited about Brazil and why I think Brazil may not be in the cards to be the powerhouse of the world. Or a worldwide powerhouse, and that's because it is mired much more so in government restrictions, legislation, and whatever. Anything you want to do in Brazil has to be approved by some sort of state government agency. They can't move out of their own way. And I did send them an email, and I said, you know, Brazil has always been the city of the future. And it reminds me very much of a sign that a friend of mine told me he saw in a bar, and it said, free beer tomorrow. So, of course, my friend showed up the next day. The sign was still there, and the guy says, I'm here for my free beer. And the bartender pointed to the sign, and it said, free beer tomorrow. Well, you know where that was going. And that's the same with Brazil. Brazil is, in fact, the nation or the country of the future, and has been for around 30 or 40 years. Unfortunately, it will always be the country of the future, and you can go into this bar, and that sign will always be up saying, free beer tomorrow, and that's very unfortunate. And yet, you would think that those countries that are mired in regulation, in government corruption, etc., 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 after a while, one of these countries, one of the 151 countries, I guess there's 192 countries out there, one of them would say, hey, this doesn't work. Now, some are doing that. Even some of the countries in Northern Europe, or Sweden, the Scandinavian countries, are now learning that, you know, this socialism provided tons of money is coming in from offshore drilling, and they can just disperse it, you know, to the people and tax the people very highly. You know, that's fine, you know. But as soon as the income drops slightly, the whole state collapses. The whole system collapses. And they find out it's not sustaining. And even they are trying to convert to a more of a free enterprise, individual responsibility type of system. Yes, even the Scandinavian countries, even in Canada, I know we hear a lot about Canadian healthcare. The Canadian government is desperately searching for ways to privatize their healthcare system, realizing they cannot sustain it. It is driving the entire country into bankruptcy, and they cannot afford it anymore. So I'm just saying that, you know, you would think that these countries would, in fact, you know, wake up and say, hey, guys, there is a way out here. There's a way. The way out is for every person to be the governor, every person to be the nation, every person to be the government, and for them to do what they want to do, what they do best, without restriction, provided they do not infringe upon the equal rights of others. And we will, as a government, we will sit back, and we will monitor things only to the extent to ensure that no one's rights, freedoms, or liberties are taken away. Now, just think about that. It's such a simple process, such an incredibly simple process. Now, the people think that way. If you sit down with anyone and say, how would you like ultimate freedom to do whatever you want to do? There'd be very, very few people who would say, heck no, man, no, I want legislation. I want that legislation controlling me every day. Now, no one would say that. Now, some people say, well, I would like government health care, or I would like government schooling and this and that, because they don't understand, you know. But once they understood, they would realize that that is the only sustainable way to go. And it's the best way for everyone. It's the best way for the environment. It's the best way for the country. It's the best way for the individual people. And it's the best way for peace around the world. You know, folks, understand this. People don't go to war. Governments go to war. Now, I have an answer to that. If, in fact, the Bush administration has something against the administration in Iran, have Bush and Cheney and his friends give him guns. I'll buy the gun for him. Go over there and I'll pay the way, have him land there and have him attack Iran. And then give guns to Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and his cronies and have him duke it out. I have absolutely nothing but respect for the people in Iran. In fact, I have more respect for the people in Iran, for the people that we have in our own country. Because what they have sustained under the tremendous military dictatorships that we installed and for the theocracies that were so oppressive, you know, Americans couldn't survive that, and they did. We have to admire these people on how they survived, not only with nothing, but with less than nothing. And we should look to them for strength. I know that sounds crazy, doesn't it? It absolutely sounds anti-American and crazy. But if Bush wants to go to war, go boy go. Go man go. Go for it. You know, I'll buy you that. What kind of gun do you want? AK-47? Here it is. And here's all the ammo. Go. Goodbye. You know, shoot yourself in the foot for all I care. It's a free country. Do what you want. But don't start a war with another country. Send innocent boys and say, you're there because you're protecting, you know, you're fighting for the freedom of America. And then make the boy sort of a pseudo-hero because you send him in harm's way and he gets his head blown off. Jeez, doesn't anyone see anything wrong with that? Why can't we see through that? All right, now the election. Post-election comments. I'm infuriated at the mainstream media. And I always have been. I'm more infuriated than I ever have been. But why? Well, during the past, about I guess the election has gone full swing for about 20 months now. It's almost 2 years. The mainstream media never mentions the fact that people who have such important jobs as senator of the United States, of their states, for, you know, the United States Senate, the most very important, the highest job, second only to the President of the United States, that they can take 2 years off from their job, never see their office, and the job gets done. Well, that's proof positive that we don't need them. We don't need for them to do what they are doing. But the mainstream media never mentions that. Now, this is what I'm really hacked off about. I'm really hacked off at the fact that they never mention any of the major third-party candidates. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, Joe Blow, who put his name down as president in his neighborhood, and his three friends are voting for him. I'm talking about someone who has a statistical probability of winning. Somebody who is registered in enough states that if those states voted for that person, that person would be president of the United States. Now, there are a few of them. I think there was four of them. And they were never, ever, ever mentioned. And now, this is what truly infuriates me, is after they never mention them, at when they tally the votes, then they mention them. And they mention so-and-so got 1% of the vote. Well, how disingenuous could you be? Don't tell me, Mr. Mainstream and Mrs. Mainstream Media, that you are reporting, you are media, and you're reporting to me, so you have to report how many votes these people got, received. But what you should be saying is that we never gave these people 1 minute worth of airtime. We mentioned the name of Barack Obama 40 million times, McCain 20 million times, Nader, Barr, and the rest of them maybe once or twice. Maybe. So as a result, we have a skewed election. We have an election where the mainstream media refuses to even acknowledge that these people are running. Now, when we talk about, you know, media control in the communist nations and dictatorships with total media control, that's what we have here, folks. We have a form of that. Now, what we have in America today is we have illusions. We have an illusion of a constitutional republic. We have an illusion of a free press. We have an illusion of freedom of speech. We have all these are illusions because they mean nothing. They give us just enough to make us believe that this is a free nation. Just enough. And then they educate us to the fact in our government schools that this is a privilege that's being bestowed upon you by the federal government, who is all powerful. Now, great men typically say great things. I'm not a great person. I'm going to say a great thing. And maybe when I die, someone will repeat this and say, talk show host, Liberty Talk Radio, Joe Cristiano, said this. And here it is, folks. You know, we had an election, and there was a bit of monumental shift, appears to be a monumental shift. But all we have done is traded in one set of problems for another. Okay? Now, remember that, folks. Joe Cristiano, talk show host, Liberty Talk Radio, said this. Our elections trade one set of problems for another. And that's all we accomplish. This is Joe Cristiano, Liberty Talk Radio. Please call in with your comments, 646-652-4620, 646-652-4620. We have about 13 minutes remaining. I'd love to hear from somebody. Somebody give me your opinion, and please disagree with me. If you disagree with me, that'll be wonderful. I'm not going to chop your head off. I want to discuss this stuff. You know, I don't want to preach to the choir. And too often, these internet radio programs and these off-network programs, we're preaching to the choir. I mean, what, you know, it's like going to your church and listening to your preacher and saying, yes, I agree with him. Well, you agreed with him before you walked in. How about you say, well, I went there, I disagree with him, he and I are having a conversation tonight. That would be meaningful. At least you'll understand each other. You both learn from that. And the same thing here. You know, during good times, our elected officials tend to keep their hands off of things. Now, they legislate like crazy because they have the money and they appear to be doing good things. We have the illusion of them doing their job, when in fact they are not. They're doing things that are totally unconstitutional. Totally unconstitutional. But during bad times, we expect them to act. And then they go into overdrive. And in both cases, what they do is totally unconstitutional. And we don't realize it. We say, well, geez, you know, we have to have this elected. Isn't it great we have a Democratic Congress and a Democratic president, you know? And now we can get something done. Oh, no, 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 no. We don't want anything done. We only want the president to do what the Constitution permits him to do. And that's to be a check on Congress and to ensure that the rights, the liberties, and the freedom of the individuals are not impaired. To make sure the court system is working, provided that we have a common defense, not a Department of War, a common defense, you know, defending nation from people coming in and taking stuff away from us. And that's all he does. It's a very, very easy job. It's not the redistribution of wealth. Now, people say, well, now that we have Obama in there, we're going to have a socialist government. Well, first of all, folks, I mean, wake up. We have a quasi-socialist government. Now, a true socialist government, everything that's manufactured is really owned by the state. Now, you say, what's the difference between socialism and communism? Very, very fine line. One's more dictatorial than the other. That's the only difference. But by virtue of the fact that everything is owned, all production is owned by the state, it's dictatorial because you have no choice in the matter. So it's a matter of semantics. So we have a quasi-socialistic state, and we have had it for decades. Now, if you wanted to categorize, you know, if you had to put a caricature to all this, you would say that probably Obama is your quasi-socialist, and maybe McCain would be more your quasi-fascist. But they're very, very close because they both incorporate corporations into the system that are controlled by the state, and they go hand in glove. There's very, very, very little difference, folks, between the two. Now, free enterprise, no, we haven't had free enterprise in a long, long time because the government controls that. There's restrictions on absolutely everything. And it's a shame that we don't see that. We don't see that, geez, we're going down the wrong road. Well, why are we going down the wrong road? Well, people say, well, that's because of, letting things be free. No, that's because of all the government restrictions and, you know, government shenanigans and government forcing the market to do things that it naturally wouldn't do. That's what's happening. But we don't see it that way. You know, for example, we have energy. Energy should be free. I mean, in the free market. Then why do we need a Secretary of Energy? You think, why do we need a Secretary? A guy makes tons, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, and he's the Secretary of Energy. He doesn't buy anything. He doesn't sell anything. He doesn't manufacture anything. He doesn't import or export anything. We have a Secretary of Energy. Why? What has he ever done? What does the Secretary of Energy say? Well, without him, we wouldn't have this. No, wouldn't exist. Without him, we'd be fine. But we have him. And we have secretaries for everything. Now, the big winner in this election were not the people. The big winner was the mass media. They set out and they had an agenda, whatever that agenda was, but they were successful. And they executed flawlessly. Executed it flawlessly. And we are the losers. Now, there will be some changes made because the dynamics of politics have changed. How could you now, with the same veracity, say that we have a country which is based on prejudice when primarily the white voters voted in an African-American president? Boy, that shot that out of the water. How do you justify having a black caucus, congressional caucus, you know, in our government, you know, as a separate entity because they've been, you know, they're the minorities, when the head of the government is African-American? I mean, you know, how do you do this? I mean, now you can do it and it will sustain itself and whatever, and they'll modify it, but it sure takes the edge off of that. I mean, people were saying that Barack Obama could never be elected because white people wouldn't elect him. Well, there's only about, I think the African-American population in the United States is somewhere around 15, total about 15%. And let's say about two-thirds of those people voted. And I'm just making these figures up, but it's probably pretty close. So that's about 10% of the African-Americans in the United States voted, but yet Barack Obama won handsomely, well over 50%. So that means that the other 45% had to come from white voters or Latino voters or whatever. So he was voted in by the white population. Now, what's the argument? That all changes. And it's going to be increasingly difficult to say, well, we need this legislation because these people are minorities. You say, wait a minute. You're a minority. You're president of the United States. Why do we need this legislation? We didn't have it. We didn't have this legislation, and you became president. Why can't they do the same? And I really hope that that has a very, very positive effect on race relations. I mean, on the racial regulations. Now, it's going to have a negative effect on race relations, in my opinion, because people are going to have certain expectations, and they're not going to be fulfilled. Interesting, isn't it? It changes the dynamics of the race card, basically. I hate using that word, but it really changes the dynamics of that. Now, the positive part is I think that worldwide, it is a step in which the people around the world saw the American people vote against the Bush-Cheney regime. I think that's the way they saw it. Now, I'm not sure, but I think, and there was rejoicing all over the world. Because they saw him more as a peace candidate, which he's not. That's the funny part about it. He's not. Oh, he wants to whittle down the troops in Iraq so he can redeploy them in Afghanistan, and he wants to go to war in Iran. I mean, he's not dismantling the empire. I mean, he's not doing anything. He's not making any change at all, other than maybe redistributing the wealth in different ways. Not that he's doing it and another president wouldn't. They would all do it. They just do it in different ways. And maybe certain recipients would get a little bit more than others and all this other stuff. And you can argue, you know, well, I'm a progressive and now we're going to get more money for this and that. And no one deserves any money. No one deserves the money that I earned. No one deserves the money that you earned. No one, not even the government. Only to do those things that are absolutely critical and to ensure our freedom and our liberty. And it's unfortunate we don't vote that way. Now, I'm not certain what's going to happen to the Libertarian Party. I'm very concerned. There's been real rumbles and disenchantment with the Bob Barr campaign. And Mary Ruart, who is the leading contender for president for the Libertarian Party, I think she's wonderful. She is a wonderful Libertarian, but a virtual unknown. I think she started, I'm going to look this up, I think she started a new party. I think that she's involved with the Boston Tea Party, but I'm not certain. But I understand there's real rumbles, and I'm very, very concerned because at this point, we need to be truly united, and we may have split apart. I don't know what the effects of all this will be. But I can, I feel pretty sure that you can expect practically no change whatsoever. We're not dismantling the empire. We're not doing away with the Patriot Act. We're not doing away with the Military Commissions Act. We're not really making peace with anyone. I mean, we're just reinforcing our troops in different places. We are not becoming a freer nation by virtue of the fact that we are talking more about redistribution of income. So, folks, we are trading in one set of problems for another. And that's a shame. You know, Barack Obama has a tremendous, tremendous opportunity to turn so many things around. But maybe I'm foolish. Maybe I'm just being naive, because we know that the people who run this government are not the president and the vice president and the Congress, but the people who own our currency. And to that, he can do nothing. Shame. I just, some food for thought. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Grant Shaker's Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government is like training wheels. You now have a controlled ride, and that isn't any more fun. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk. It says, "Don't steal. The government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.